True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I particularly have a big smile this morning. It's Mother's Day. Lots of Mother's Day gifts. I got balloons. I got flowers. I got cards. There is nothing, no bigger blessing, in my opinion, than the blessing of being a mother. It is just, I always tell my kids, I say, you will never know what true love is until you have children. And so for all of you mothers out there, I just want to say, let's count our blessing that we are so very blessed with our children. And obviously many of you, all of you have mothers. So for all of the grandmothers out there and just everybody, I just want to wish everybody a blessed time with your mother or with your children or with both. And I just hope it's a wonderful day for y'all. I want to say, too, that while this is such a great blessing of a day, it's also a day where many people will struggle, right? Because you don't have that mother to celebrate. And then many, and I think this is even worse, mothers who have lost their children. It's something I honestly can't even imagine. I truly can't even imagine it. And I know that we have many here on the platform that follow that have lost their mothers, that have lost their children. And so for all of you, I'm thinking of you too. And as a believer, all I can say is, you know, what's always helped me through the losses that I've had is they're in such a perfect place. And I think they're always with us in our hearts. I wanted to play a special tribute this morning. And I want to thank my producer, who is absolutely wonderful. And I just wanted to play this all for you here first. Of course, it's at the end. Sorry.
No amount of miles could separate us. No place where I don't feel your love. You say I'm the gift that heaven gave ya, but mama, I'm the lucky one. 'Cause when God made you my mother, he knew who I'd need. When he picked you from the others, he could already see
wanted to play that. I think it's really important since this morning we're going to be talking about Nancy Guthrie and that case. It's really important that we realize that for the Guthrie family, this is a particularly hard day because it's their first day without their mother. And so I can tell you from experience, the first time you have Mother's Day without your mom, it's tough. And I know many of you have experienced it as well, but I wanted to give that little tribute and so thankful for my producer for putting that together. It's beautiful. All right. I want to get into a little bit of news recap, some things like that. First of all, I think the number one news, if you will, that happened yesterday was this, and I'll play it for you, and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
Now almost, sir. Are you guys any closer to solving?
We are.
Good. That's good to hear. Thank you, sir. You have a great weekend.
Started from the beginning.
Hey, Sheriff. How are you? Good. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. I was wondering if you had a message for the Guthrie family. Sorry, sir?
Okay.
You're okay? It's 100 days now almost, sir. Are you guys any closer to solving?
I think we are.
Good, that's good to hear. Thank you, sir. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
It's interesting because Fox Digital actually caught that. But if I'm not mistaken, and I've been interviewed by him three times, I believe that's the young man from TMZ. I recognize his voice. It actually alerted me to go ahead and check in, because oftentimes when I get interviewed, I should put them all on my page. I don't. But I know many of you ask. Anyway, I looked back to his interview with me, and I was happy to see it really, really blew up, hundreds of thousands of views. And I was happy for him. Obviously, there's no advantage for me per se. But I was happy for him. And then I was happy to read all the comments and everything. And we really did a deep dive in on Nancy's case. So it was interesting to watch. But I could swear that's his voice, although I see Fox is the one that posted that. But I wanted to talk about it. So you can see Sheriff Nanos is approached by this young man. And he's asked, you know, any Mother's Day message. Sheriff Nanos says, no, I'm all right. I'm all right. And then next, when he persists, is, you know, any new developments, or no, I think the exact words, are we any closer to solving the case? And Sheriff Nanos, you know, kind of puts his head down, looks whatever, and he says, yes. My opinion, and this has been talked a lot about in the news. I've seen it even as a big headline. I think People Magazine had it as a huge headline. And I'm curious as to what you all think, but I really saw it as more of a pro forma. In other words, more of a, listen, I'm going to say yes, because I guess any clue that you investigate, any lead that you follow one more step, even though it might not lead to who did it, is one step closer, right? So not necessarily a lie, but I didn't really see his heart in it, like, yeah, we're getting closer, you know, stand by. I saw it as more like, yeah, we're closer, leave me alone. In fact, I think it was really leave me alone, but the words that came out was, yeah, we're closer, or worse to that effect. So anyway, I just know some of you might see these words from Sheriff Nanos in the headlines. I have seen it all over, you know, that they're closer. Take it for what you will. You guys can all make your own assessments. I'm just telling you what mine was, that it was not some epiphany. It was sort of a surprise that he was there, and then kind of just wanted him to get away from the reporter. And so it gave that sort of off the cuff response. But it's funny, because if you take words and just the words, and you don't have any context for the words, and you just write that down, it may seem like he said that they were closer to resolving. And then as you look closer, that's not the case. I'm going to play it one more time again, just from the beginning. It's really short, just a few seconds, just to, so you all are aware, if you see any headlines, what it all means. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, Sheriff, how are you? Good. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. I was wondering if you had a message for the Guthrie family. Sorry, sir?
Okay.
You're okay? It's 100 days now almost, sir. Are you guys any closer to solving?
I think we are.
Good, that's good to hear. Thank you, sir. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
So are you any closer to resolving? We are. And again, I think that likely has to do with, you know, just wanting him to get away. So In any event, I wanted to play that again, just so those of you, I see a few coming in late, and I always appreciate all of you. I mean, I know this is a holiday, and it's a Sunday, and it's church, and so thank you all for being here to discuss Nancy, particularly on Mother's Day. We played a tribute to her early on, and to Nancy and to the family early on, kind of a little Mother's Day message, which was beautifully put together. I love the song and everything. So it was great. Yesterday, I spoke about searching and particularly the search grid, and I wasn't able to pull it up quickly, and I didn't want to digress from the show. This was a search grid that was presented by Pima County, and specifically, they searched within the first about 24 hours or so, the day after Sheriff Nanos called it into the searching, just so everybody knows. These demarcations, the colorings, denote either foot searches, drone searches, or aerial type searches, and then canine searches that were done in the immediate area. Where is her house in all of this? If you look, there's a little kind of square right there. I believe that's the house. It's right in the middle, but it's basically centrical to the searching that they did. Again, I want to make it clear that the searching was done at the very beginning after the call came in. I also want to talk a little bit about there were private search parties, CBP helped with dogs, and there were multiple police agencies out there. There were really hundreds of people at the beginning. Sheriff Nano said 400. The FBI said hundreds that they allotted to help in any event at the very beginning. That was according to Cash Patel. You can listen to it. And in any event, there was a large search done for multiple reasons. Anybody who is talking, who is saying that the search would have been just for Nancy, does not understand what law enforcement does. You know, I keep hearing actually former law enforcement or current law enforcement say that, and it makes me wonder if they've done these missing cases. You conduct searches straight away because you want to check for the person and for indicia of the crime, anything that might have been used to commit the crime, any remnants of the person, that could be clothing, that could be a shoe, that could be anything, a hair tie, that could be a wristband, that could be a watch, whatever it might be. I'm just throwing out things. I'm not saying in Nancy's case, but that's what you would be looking for. Anything that could be of Nancy's. I want to also make it clear that a lot of people think that Annie and Tommaso, who were the first to respond on team, recall that there was a call that came into Annie and Tommaso around 11 or so. This was after Nancy Guthrie did not show up for her usual church meeting that was with her friends. After COVID, she didn't want to go to church anymore. She was elderly. She was worried about germs, understandably. And so she and her friends watch church from a residence. None of those individuals, by the way, have chosen to speak to anyone in the media. And I think that's a extremely wise choice. There's no reason to speak to anyone anywhere because they at some point could be witnesses. In fact, they will be. Somebody will be a witness because when you're putting your case on the stand, you want to do chronologically what happened. And there's going to be somebody there at that church meeting that said, "This is weird. I am going to call so-and-so. I'm either going to call Annie, I'm going to call Savannah, I'm going to call Tommy. I'm going to call somebody." And they made that call. And so it's just a link of your evidence that is in the chain of things. And if that person starts talking or all these people start talking, it becomes the telephone game. What was really said? When did they really call? When did they really know? It's best to have one recitation of what happened. You can imagine, just think of all the times that somebody asks you something and they might say, "Hey, what'd you do for Mother's Day?" And you say, "Oh, I did X, Y, Z." And then another person asks you, totally separate. You might say, oh yeah, I did X, Y, Z. And then by the way, we did this. And we also did this. And we did this. And then 2 years from now, you have somebody ask you, hey, what did you do for Mother's Day? And you're, well, yeah, I do remember we went and did this and we did this. I think we did that. And oh, we did that. And you didn't end up doing that, maybe even. So all of these different times that you're asked questions, you omit information just because you just didn't put it in on from the first time. You add just not anything nefarious, just because it was more that you wanted to convey to that second person or third person that asked you. And then as time goes on, you typically your memory fades a little bit. Your best memories, at least in law enforcement investigations, are typically what you initially say. Whenever later in time, especially when it's years later, information comes out from the same person, I always look at that with a very keen eye, especially if they never contacted law enforcement in between the time they were initially interviewed and the time they were interviewed years later. In other words, when I say interviewed years later, either put up before a grand jury, because we don't know how long this is going to take, or trial, which will take years, no matter what. The trial will be years when and if they get somebody, which I still say this case will be solved. I said the time frame of 6 months. I don't know if I'll be right or wrong. Maybe I was too optimistic, but I've always said this is a 6 month case on Brian Koberger. I said it was about a 5-6 week case based on evidence we have, we meaning generally known. So we'll see with this case if they get it done in that amount of time. It's just difficult. It's painstaking. I think the vehicle could possibly be an avenue. Porch guy is the best avenue. The DNA to me is problematic because I know they don't have the technology to separate three profiles yet. And then in terms of the hair, hairs are transient. So we really don't know that it even belongs to the perpetrator. So, and then there's probably other DNA. We know five labs are working on it. That's according to ABC News. So in any event, I wanted to get back to some facts here, although I also want to quickly touch on the interview or the information I provided yesterday. We looked at what a sergeant that's currently with Pima County, he's been on, listen, I didn't show all, he has too many to show. He's been talking about this case for weeks, if not months. I think initially more shrouded and then, you know, information from a source he says he has that's actually working the case. He isn't working the case. He got in trouble by Sheriff Nanos, who basically stripped him of his power. He's a sergeant, and he's purportedly sitting behind a desk answering calls instead of using his expertise and background to help with cases. So that's where he comes from. It's always important to understand there's two sides of the story. I don't know the other side of the story. I don't know what he did or didn't do. I just know what he says. And my issue with what he's saying now, to be clear, is that I felt it was not, it wasn't that, I felt it was not a true reflection of the facts. And I believe that he shouldn't be talking. We have an oath we upheld as law enforcement. And a big part of that is that we do not talk about ongoing cases and disclose evidence, facts, circumstances regarding our cases when they're ongoing, because they could definitely jeopardize the case. He is providing hearsay from somebody who purportedly one source that has information or is working the Nancy Guthrie case firsthand. That's the information we're getting from him. So we're getting secondhand what is happening. And anytime you have hearsay, it's a problem. It was funny because he retracted everything he said from yesterday. I want to show you I'm going to read you the retraction that he says. This is a very odd one to me. So he is part of the Pima County's deputy organization, okay? It has about 153 followers, at least on his website. It's Associated Labor Group. This is how they describe themselves. AC Cops, Associated Labor Group for Pima County Sheriff Department deputies, okay? They tout that they're the largest deputy union in Pima County. I did a little research, and it's kind of interesting. Did you know there's five unions? The primary representative for county employee is AFCME Local 449, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, which recently took over representational duties from the SEIU Local 48. So there's that one. There's the Pima County Deputies Organization that we just saw. And it was interesting because they're the one that led the no confidence vote. There's the Pima County Deputies Association. That's been the longest standing organization. And that one exists also. There's the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 1. And it's part of the national organized representing a broad range of law enforcement professionals, including them. And the SEIU Local 5 traditionally represents employees and some non-commissioned staff. So I was really interested to find that there's certainly a lot of folks that are involved with different unions with Pima County. I had to wonder when I looked at this website, I was just kind of looking at everything. There's a lot of different organizations. I just read them all off. You can go check on this, and they represent all or part of the individuals involved there. So it's very interesting. This case is starting to remind me so much of Delphi in so many ways. Again, I'm just trying to put forth facts. You guys, I always say I'll never serve on a jury. You all are people who serve on juries that look at facts, that want to understand a case and want to understand different people's, you know, reasoning behind what they have to say. I want to tell you what. So this was, I'm going to play this again. This was a snippet from the interview. You know, you can go back and look at Brian Inten's full interview of Mr. Cross. There's multiple other interviews of Cross on various platforms and various shows. I really invite you to look at those. You're going to probably really be amazed at some of the assertions made. And when I say that, I'm just so disappointed that being a sworn officer for 28 years, which I was, I consider this somebody who's going against their duty as an officer to go forth and give forth facts that are later going to be important and in a case, in an ongoing case. I totally understand his hate. I would call it hate, resentment, disdain, anger toward Sheriff Nanos. Look, he took this guy's, you know, what he did for a job, and he's put him behind a desk. He didn't fire him, although this could maybe get him fired. I don't know. In the Bureau, you couldn't do this. You will never see an agent working on this case come forward, or an outside, or an agent on another squad come forward and say, listen, my buddy that's actually on that task force, he's saying it was a hot mess. Everybody was disorganized. They were re-interviewing after re-interviewing because leadership at the top was bad and blah, 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 blah. We all know that. I've pointed that out since day one. How many shows have I done on how to do a proper canvas of a neighborhood? And then I pointed out how pathetic the canvases are going over and over and over again, how you have set questions. You don't go out just on a lark. You have to go out initially so you make sure that Nancy isn't at any of those residents and that they are not involved. I bring you back to the Michael Vaughn case. Remember the Michael Vaughn case? They did a piss poor canvas. He was at a house being murdered there. Apparently, according to, you know, the new charges, apparently buried in the backyard there for some time. They couldn't find him because he apparently had been moved. But that was a neighbor, everyone. When you do these canvases, you know, the last missing child we had, that little boy was in a neighbor's pond. You have to do a thorough, deep search with these neighbors. You have to have somebody back at the office writing a complete set of canvas questions that are asked across the board, even if it's not in your initial canvas, your second. I mean, these guys were doing so many canvases, I kept showing up. And why do we know it? We know it because we see it. And like I said, in this case, this is one of those cases you can only believe it if you see it with your own eyes, or if you see, if you see credible interviews. I personally believe the interviews with Savannah are very credible. I take a lot to heart what she says. I also look at actions. What did the FBI do as soon as they received those ransom notes? They put together the kids all getting up there and asking for help, right? Asking, when I say for help from the abductors to please give their mom back for clarifications. They did all that. That is action that I see shows a reaction to the reality that law enforcement believed the notes were real. Then that's backed up again by Savannah. So my point is, this is one of these cases where, just in my opinion, where you see people coming out of the woodwork who hate nanos, and I totally, totally understand that. You gotta, I have to weigh motives. And the biggest problem I have is, as a sworn officer, you can't be talking about this. You just can't. He comes back out and he says, update, after speaking with the source further. Oh, God, I'm going to play it so you can hear him say.
Looking for Nancy. And
sorry.
Again, it's hard to blame the searchers because.
And I want to say, yes, I took this snippet out. I mean, you wouldn't want to see all the snippets I could have taken out. There's a lot there because it's all hearsay. And he says, you know, this person is telling him, and from his, this is 90 days later, everyone. In fact, this is 97 days later.
The family was pretty insistent that this was a walk away as well.
Okay. He backtracks on all of that yesterday afternoon. He says, update, after speaking with the source further. So he's the source of the source. It was determined to be a miscommunication. The family on scene initially believed Nancy may have been taken away voluntarily to a hospital. Brian Inton has been so advised and will address on his next show. I mean, I don't even know what to say about all this. I'm glad we called it out, and I'm glad that an effort was made to retract, because it wasn't accurate. So I'm glad that an effort was made to retract. But the main point, sources are unreliable. It's a hearsay game. That's why hearsay isn't allowed in court. It's unreliable. And I don't like to see sworn officers that are with the department making statements. It's just not right. Fine, say all you want about Nanos. Nanos disciplined me. He doesn't treat people well. Blah, 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 blah. All of that. As far as the Bureau not being involved early, yeah, he talks a lot about that and that there was, you know, listen, I tried to explain. First of all, Nano said he gave on day two the information from the digital information to the Bureau because they're so much better at it. That's what he said. I played that interview yesterday. I played where he says that. Patel says they weren't involved until day four. That could mean opening a case, really running things. So all I have to say is individually, first of all, it's not that I dislike anyone. It's that I don't think sworn officers should do investigations or should be disclosing information from cases. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. This is from Christine Camley. Hi, Christine. Thank you so much. Cross has diminished himself professionally. You were right to call his comments out 100%. Thank you for your ethics and integrity. Happy Mom's Day. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, what would be the best thing, what I would love to see Mr. Cross do is say, listen, I'm a sworn officer. I've overstepped my bounds. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. I have a lot to say about Nanos, and I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to involve details of the Nancy Guthrie investigation. There's just no reason to. It does so much harm than it does good. It does so much harm than it does good. Great question over here. Do I think the FBI has been involved from day one? Look, the FBI isn't involved. Not involved. They offered their assistance. And I've played this before you, but Nano says that. He says, listen, and if you guys want me to put this clip up again, I'm happy to. Nano specifically says, listen, we were the only ones there. The FBI wasn't there. Our partners weren't there. He says that. And I've played it many times. Nano says that. It was us, just us. We were the ones there. So kind of it's, you know, not their fault. So for when Nano said that, he's basically saying, no, they weren't involved. That doesn't mean that they're there. That doesn't mean that they're not offering their help and assistance. I believe that happened, but I've explained that there's a big difference between that and actually opening a case and being able to provide the resources that are necessary. So I believe it's day four, if we're to believe Kash Patel, where the request comes in, where, because it's a process where Nano says, we want you guys, we want, and you can see in the press conference, and I've talked about this, he says, we're in charge of the investigation, and he turns his back, he says, but the FBI will handle the ransom notes. That to me, you know, that's when they were truly brought in. So just because you're standing there or just because you're there to offer your assistance doesn't mean that you have been invited into an investigation. And like I said, we saw it in Delphi, right? We saw where there was this huge political battle for sheriff and we saw it become an absolute disaster. And then we saw, you know, 7 years later, the case. So what I really think is, and again, I looked at Anjanette Levy. She interviewed him last night. And one of the first things he says or into the interview, he says, you know, 86-year-old Nancy Guthrie, she was alone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she was 84. And then I just couldn't listen anymore. Oof. It's not that huge of a thing to know, but if you're really going to be going on the tour talking about this case, you need to know how old the person is you're talking about. guys go back and look at it. Anyway, I didn't listen beyond that. I've heard a lot of snippets, and basically what I see is an internal person putting down the investigation. And what do you think that's going to do whenever the person is caught for this case? What do you think is going to happen? This is an absolute field day for even an inexperienced person as a defense attorney. They are going to crush this case. And after action review, terrific. Do it so you can get better. Internally, discuss it. Oh my gosh, we screwed this up. We screwed that up. We have got to fix this. You have to run a case. And this is what's great. This is what's great. Lumberg, Dale Lumberg, homicide detective, 10 years with Dallas. And before that, robbery and abduction detective. He's great. I've got to have him back on again. Because he talks exactly about these kinds of things. You don't talk about your case. You can't do it. And that is why, by the way, the Bureau won't talk. The Bureau doesn't talk. Because when you come into a case, and this is one thing Dale Lumberg talked about, it was so succinctly, you have to do your case as if you are literally doing it before a court of law. That's when you go into a case. That's why you say, whoa, 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 can't have all these people in here. That's why you say, whoa, I can't release the crime scene. That's why you say, oh, I've got to set this up. I've got to mark everything off wide. The whole perimeter of that house, it's a crime scene. And I have to make just a small tracking area where detectives that need to be in there can go in there. And that's it. Just a little pass so I know where they're at because of Lockhart's theory. Anytime you go to a place, you leave things behind. Anytime you leave that place, you take things with you. If you want me to put, I can actually put this up. It's on this site where you see him backtrack. This Mr. Cross backtracks. And I know who he is. I understand. This is the website. Go look on there. I'll read it to you exactly. Update. After speaking with the source further, again, he doesn't have any firsthand knowledge. It was determined to be a miscommunication. This is a huge thing to get on a huge platform and say that the Guthrie family said she had just wandered off. The family on scene initially believed Nancy may have been taken away voluntarily to the hospital. Yes, we know that. That has been disclosed. Brian Inton has been so advised and will, or has been advised and will address on his next show. I mean, oh, help me understand why any sworn sheriff's officer is doing this. All right. Let's see. I wanted to address a couple of questions. And again, there's five different organizations that are considered unions. This one has a hundred, you can see it's 153 that are at least following this person. So I wanted to make it clear that there were others. Anyway, let's see. I just wanted to make sure there was something else. Oh, I know. It was about the blood. Thank you. So I was asked about this blood. Could it have been from another incident? I have to tell you, I really don't believe so. I believe this blood is directly related to what happened. And this is in large part why. When you look at the blood and the blood spattering there, I wouldn't call that spatter, actually, the blood droplets that either are droplets that whenever a droplet drops, it makes little teeny spatters. Some people believe, actually several people believe, that this is an expiration of blood, like Mac. She believes that, and others do too, other very prominent people. I have said, and Lemberg and I agree on this, that these are droplets that drop, many right there, and then they spatter out. And I gave a bunch of examples from situations where you can see that. The reason I think it was from this incident is because as it goes to the circle drive, it stops. And I would believe that that is when she's put into a car. Also, there's no information out there that these, you know, that this blood was from before. And actually, Sheriff Nanos came out right away and said, we tested it, it's Nancy's blood, right? Because they had who they could test it against. And I believe if they would have determined, oh, this is from another time, which they would know by how dried it would be or how wet it would be, that would be the situation. I also say that no one that I've ever heard say anything on any show is a blood spatter expert. Not one blood spatter expert that is in the lab that looks at all of this. And I've also said that any blood spatter expert is going to know straight away that there would be mucus. That's how you could tell. Why is that even important? I'm not sure how important this will be, except for to actually be able to show how the person was carried. So in other words, if you throw somebody over your shoulder, could that be their head down there? I've also had issues with the thinking this, because I can't believe, and again, I'm strictly going out on my experience, I haven't seen people abducted where they're not gagged or hooded or both. So why, you know, it would be very unique. There's a lot of things unique about this case, but it would be very unique for an abductor who, again, porch guy was ready to rock and roll, right? Dubs, gloves, possibly double gloved. He's got the, you know, the holster right here. He's obviously not a trained law enforcement professional, in my opinion, or he would have had it on his side, unless this is part of the ruse to look like a complete Nimrod. He's got one of those holsters, one size fits all, easy to get out of the holster. Honestly, all you would have to see is this person above your bed as an 84-year-old woman, and you would be absolutely terrified. Anybody, a child, an adult, you would be terrified to see him standing over your bed. And certainly the gun, you would be even more terrified. But I'm just saying, he looks pretty, you know, a guy in your house standing over your bed like this would be a problem. He's gloved. He's got his face kind of covered. Doesn't do the best job, quite frankly. He's got his backpack full of stuff. And I truly believe part of that stuff would be something to cover her face and to gag her mouth. This is why. You are leaving in your vehicle now. So the premise is, and by the way, really quickly, and let me take this down. And I got to be honest. I wish, let me see. I'll just put this up because I think it's shorter. For those of you who are saying that you believe that this is something that was staged or something that, you know, the blood was previously there, please look at these photos. Please. There's no blood here, everyone. There's no blood. This was before the abduction. Look at the other photo from likely 111. Okay? There's no blood here, everyone. The blood came post-abduction, everyone. No, there's a lot of people who think this was staged. There's a lot of people who think that, you know, and it can't be, because we have the photographic and we have the video evidence that the blood came after the abduction. That's why I was saying, it's so important that you look at what your eyes can see, everyone. You look at, you half-heartedly believe what people say, and you look if they have, or what motive they have. And then you also look, is what they are saying hurting the case or helping the case? And if so, is there anger and contempt? And I'm not just talking about Mr. Cross. Is there anger and contempt for Sheriff Nanos outshadowing Nancy Guthrie's case? For those saying that this is staged, for those saying that the blood was already there, it wasn't. Take a look. Let me see. The packages at the door just were delivered later. You know, it's funny because Amazon's going to come there no matter what. Do you remember? Does everybody remember the pizza guy? Remember the pizza guy? There was a pizza guy that was delivering pizza for one of the YouTubers who will remain nameless. So pizza guy comes there and everybody's like, wait a minute, pizza, you know, this is Nancy Guthrie's house. This is when it was supposed to be under, you know, the critical guard of Pima County. And they just let him walk right up there. And the guy says later, you got to watch the interview. It's so funny. He says, they said, do you know whose house this is? He goes, no, somebody just ordered this pizza. It's hysterical. The guy has no idea Nancy Guthrie's abducted. This was days after the abduction. No idea Nancy is abducted. No idea that he's going up to this house that's been on the news. It's just crazy. It's so funny. You know, my point is that the UPS guy was allowed to go, or the package delivery person delivered the package. And then the card was also left. Remember, because it is, it, and this, a lot was made out of this. Oh, see, she's abused by her family. No, that card was left later because that is part of their protocol when an elderly person goes missing. Right. So again, I've heard many people say it's aspirated. You know what? Let me get this picture up. Hopefully I have room to put it up. Let me put this picture up. I want to show you something that is why Lundberg and I and many others think that it might not be aspirated. And as I said, I'm not even sure how important it is for a ton of discussion, because their lab already knows. When you have aspirated blood, you have mucus in it. So done. They knew in 1 second whether it was aspirated or not. And it could have been. The biggest thing that leads me to believe it isn't is because, just based on my experience, you gag and you stop from seeing where you're going to put your individual in your car. Now, the reason you do that is because here it is, 2:30 in the morning. You're one of the only vehicles out at night. Police are out at that time of night. And the last thing you want is to get pulled over and the woman in your trunk is screaming. You don't want that. So you gag them. So that begs the question, if she was gagged, which I'm just saying a logical perpetrator would do, if she was gagged, why in the world would she be able to aspirate? She wouldn't. She wouldn't be able to cough up, in other words, cough and have that blood come out of her mouth. I'm looking for some of my pictures of what it looks like when many blood droplets drop out. And again, I'm not a blood spatter expert, I don't have a microscope. I'm not looking at this under a microscope. But all I'm saying is I think it's very probable that these are multiple droplets that dropped as she was being held outside the door, as the door then is being closed. And I want to just show you this for your consideration, what that looks like in a situation where multiple blood droplets drop. And then I actually should show you also, I actually also want to show you a picture of what it looks like when something's aspirated. But this is what it looks like when a blood droplet drops. That's what it does on the surface. So look at these big drops. Drop, big, lots of big drops. Could that have made, so this is just one drop. What one drop did, it just spatters like this. It looks expirated, but it's not. It's just spatter. So, you know, we don't know for sure. I'm just going with, like I said, things I've seen. And I could be wrong because I don't have a microscope. And I don't have that under my microscope right now to see if there's any mucus in there. If there's mucus in there, it was aspirated. But I don't understand why, you know, porch guy with his bag full of goodies wouldn't gag and wouldn't hood her. Especially if he did plan to keep her alive at least long enough to get a ransom. But a lot of people think it was. What is important about this blood is that nobody, as we've discussed from the beginning, nobody traipsed through it. This is one person. This is him taking her and not a conglomeration of people, because we don't see the blood disrupted. So, okay, this was an interesting comment. Where is that? Hypothetically, I want to put that one up. Okay. I love discussion like this because I think it's really important for us to discuss. And I love that we're talking actually about facts. No, I just don't believe it could be staged after. What are you going to do? Just have a dropper and drop blood? You're going to have her and shake her out? No. I personally, but I love the discussion, and maybe some of you disagree with me. I also know this blood could not have been staged post-abduction. That's my belief. It would be so far off Occam's razor, everything you know in a case, to think that these droplets, which by the way, I just have these posted, these droplets continue out clear to, let me put this up, clear to, see all those bubbles, clear to that drive-through. Little droplets all over it. I have pictures. Again, we can see with our own eyes, so we can make a lot of good analysis because we could see. What we can't use is a lot of the information, unfortunately, coming out in this case. And that's why I'm asking you, please, if you have any questions, go back and look at the photos. Go back and look at what we actually have before us. I believe Savannah Guthrie is a very good source for details and information on the case, like knowing she was taken in her pajamas, knowing she was taken without her shoes, knowing that everything was left behind of hers. That's what Savannah Guthrie says. She's not lying. Listen to this part.
Can't wander off.
Sorry. I need to get it from the beginning. Apologies. Here we go.
I mean, from the very early moments, you know, Annie and Tommy were saying this isn't that case that you are used to where someone wanders off. She can't wander off.
So, you know, that just addressed at least, you know, what was bleeding. Remember, Savannah was there early. Savannah was there that day, that night. Remember in the press conference where the Pima County Sheriff's officers asked on the 2nd, is Savannah here? Yeah, Savannah's here. And I think that press conference was at 9 a.m. She was there. She went there right away. So, no, I don't believe this is staged. I really don't. I think that, and again, look at this. This blood hasn't been wiped, removed, touched. In fact, I've talked a lot about this with Cheryl McCollum because she is a crime scene analyst. That is what she does. And she just doesn't understand, you know, when you take these samples, you actually use water, a specific kind of water, but you use that water, and we don't see that with all this droplets. What is my point here? Yes, the droplets they tested apparently went back to her, but I would want to test every single one of these, all of them. Because you know why? If you don't, what happens if you actually got lucky and for whatever reason the perpetrator bled? It would be really lucky here since this isn't a knife case. You know, but you never know. Maybe a little scratch. Maybe something and he bleeds. He wasn't completely covered. And we've talked all about that light in his mouth. We've talked about it from the beginning. There should be DNA everywhere from this guy, from touching that light, removing the light, having the light in his mouth, cause saliva around his face, and then he touches his face and look at where he stands right on the mat and look what wasn't taken, the mat. We've talked about this a lot. For me, my opinion is the only part of this that's staged, if you will, and I don't even know if it's considered staged, was those two back doors being open. Is that because two perpetrators are there? One goes in one way, one goes in the other. One goes straight to the front door and opens it so that the other one that snatches Nancy, they can get out, and they can get out quick. Lifts her up, gags her, put a hood over her, and out. Out. Bad guys aren't going to shut the door. Opens the door, he retreats, gets in the car. When I say he retreats, he opens the door. So first bad guy, they come in, opens the door. And this is strictly hypothetical. I'll tell you when I say something strictly hypothetical. Opens the door, goes to the vehicle. Now he's there. He's ready to be the getaway driver. Porch guy picks her up. And again, could be two porch guys. I mean, they could have dressed alike. I talked about three different cases where people dress exactly alike when they do cases. Why? So later on, if there's any evidence of them, you can't tell who did one thing and who did the other thing. So they have, you know, plausible deniability in terms of their actions. In fact, that's what I said about that first photo. Do you remember the photo of porch guy without his backpack and his gun and his holster? Remember what I said? I said, could that have been the same day, a different guy? I really do believe it was a different day. I think it was on the 11th because of the moon, because of the lighting. You know, this being so much brighter with a full moon as opposed to a waning crescent. Also believe that shirt was different. I thought the shoes were different. So I am convinced it was a different day. I've talked a lot about why I think it was two guys, because I see the handheld antenna. An antenna that, I mean, we always use handhelds. Handhelds are the bomb. You can communicate without even saying anything. We just call it squelching. One squelch, two squelch for yes and no. So I really truly believe what I see is that. Could they have gone through different doors? The one guy again comes in, opens the door, goes out, gets in the car. Porch guy goes, gags her, shrouds her, whisks her out either like this or over the shoulder. Either way, the blood pretty much tells the story that he stood there. Is that blood more from her arm? Remember that picture I show a lot? Let me put it back up here, of Nancy's arm. I'm going to show it again. I like to show this photo because this is the norm. See if I can get it to go up. This is the norm of how one's arm looks that is on blood thinners. Black and blue. I mean, every time she puts on that watch, she probably breaks a small vessel. So, nevertheless, you could expect that if she had rough handling, which I believe she very much did, that she would have blood. So that blood could have come from any place on her. Any place on her, sadly. So I really am convinced two people minimally involved in this. I've always said I'm Occam's razor. They went in to take her. They hate the family. They knew there was money. She died. They had no proof of life. They offered no proof of death because they got rid of her as quick as they could. Look, this was as hot as a case can get in terms of hundreds of federal and local people trying to find her. What is this? I can't unsee the car now in the Porch Guy video. I'm happy to bring that video up. You know, I've talked about how a lot of people see the car. I haven't been able to see the car. I definitely see the walkie-talkie, the handheld. That's my belief. I don't see the car, but I'm happy to pull this up. I know a lot of people think they see a car and see lights. I know a car is there. It has to be there. Let me see if this is the right one. This is the right one. I know a car is there because they didn't walk across the desert with her. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. There was no jammer. Marilyn Lee, thanks for asking. No jammer. Absolutely not. This... Let me pull up another picture that shows A, what a jammer does, and B, I wanted to make sure everybody understands that a jammer jams a signal from a Bluetooth. They're the exact same frequency. So, and a jammer looks nothing like this. You would have to have a huge jammer. The jammer, and that's why there, I understand there was an electrical disruption some people are talking about early on in the case. But I'm telling you, that's not from a jammer. You would have to have all these people involved with jammers getting close enough to jam. Let me show you what a jammer does to an image. So this image would be jammed if he had a jammer. This is a two-way radio. The only other thing it could possibly be is a scanner to see if there was anybody on a radio frequency of law enforcement that would have been looking. Sorry, I'm trying to find this scanner. I'm getting close, I think, so you can see what a scanner does. This is no scanner. I mean, no jammer. And again, why would he feel he needs to take the ring camera? This is what it does. Why would you, if you had a good scam or jammer, which again, there's no evidence of any jammer. There's nothing in the pocket. There's nothing, no evidence from the images we receive. And again, why would you grab it if you knew you jammed the signal? And again, it would also affect her connection with her watch slash phone to her pacemaker. And that's just not the case. That's just not the facts. So anyway, there's no way a jammer would work in these conditions. It would be gigantic. Even, no jammer, in my opinion. If there ends up being one, then I'm wrong. But that isn't what I see. Everyone, I want to end with her tribute to Nancy on this Mother's Day. I really want to thank everybody. We'll continue to talk about this case. We'll continue to keep it out there. I really, really appreciate everybody's input. I love that we are talking about the facts of this case, putting it all together. That's where our attention should be. I think it is really, really bad for us to continue. Whoops. These went by so fast. I think I saw something from Adrian, one of my favorite Scotties. Hi, y'all from Scotland. Happy Mother's Day to all of you beautiful mothers. You're fabulous. I'm sending love and prayers to those whose mothers sadly aren't with us. What a beautiful message. You guys, watch her. She has a X account, and I've just recently she started coming up on my feed, and I really enjoy her comments. I think Adrian is very founded, founded in facts. So Lulu, thank you about the hair. My hair is a hot mess. It gets curly when I don't brush it. So if I brush it all out or use a straightener, that's what I like to do. But this is my unbrushed, curly, natural look. So anyway, keep following the facts, everybody. Keep looking for the truth. It's out there. As far as this case being cold, it's not cold. I also want to comment that not only is it not cold, there's so much that they're pouring over. And unfortunately, it's going to take a long time. You take a look at any of the areas. DNA is going to take a long time. The vehicle information is going to take a long time. What shouldn't take a long time is this guy. If people would just put him on a poster everywhere and on billboards everywhere. You know, James says, cough, leave it curly. Well, it's actually very easy to keep it curly. I will say that. I tell everybody this is, you could tell I'm in full dreadlock mode when you see this. You guys, this is going to be an odd one when it comes out. And I made a comment that I kind of made tongue in cheek, but I said the Bureau would have looked into it. Surely they would have. But I made a comment about, could this have all been political? Literally, like the Delphi case. Could this be one of these cases that is just shrouded by everybody's agenda that we never knew about? I mean, when we first heard about Nancy Guthrie, we, you know, being missing and knowing she was Savannah's mom and, you know, and then day 10 getting all these porch guy videos and kind of all the twists and turns with, you know, the dates coming out, the 11th and possibly the 24th. I haven't seen too much on that, but the 11th and the 31st and you know, the recon that was done and, you know, really taking a look at the blood and the facts that we can really put our hands on here. There's a political component that is really becoming interesting to me. Because what we could see on the outside was easy. Sheriff Nanos, because he's overall in charge, even though it was the particular crime scene investigator, homicide investigator with 6 months, all of this stuff that they had figured out, right? That we can easily see ourselves. We saw Sheriff Nanos say on day two, we're pulling our people and we're not searching anymore. We saw his statement, we don't condone other, we're not supporting any other searches. We've seen what Madre Buscadora say. We saw what Cajun Navy has said. So we have a lot of facts to work with in terms of mistakes, in my opinion, armchair quarterbacking that Sheriff Nanos has made. We didn't need to add to it the intense bringing down of the investigation these people are doing. I mean, everything being discussed from canvases to organization to people crumpling the crime scene, all of that. That's something for court. That's something that typically comes out in motions, discovery. Remember, everything is going to be on body-worn camera, everyone. Pima County has worn body-worn camera since 2023. This is all going to be on body-worn camera. Being inside that residence. Anytime you're interacting with the public, you have to have it on. It's going to be all over the place. We're going to be able to see it. The defense would be able to see all of that. We're going to be able to see it. It's for a later time. It's not for now. Anyway, y'all, that's my thoughts on that. And I love we're discussing the facts. We're going to stay on it. And we're going to pray that something happens soon. All we need is a break here. DNA is going to take a while looking over all that video. This is what could be quick. Some teed off girlfriend. It's like, hey, porch guy, I'm done. I discussed many, many days ago, probably a week and a half. I still haven't pulled that. About possibly could be dead. I discussed that very early on. I know everybody's talking about it now. But, you know, that's how to keep somebody quiet if two are involved. That's what Mark Twain says. How to keep a secret? Between two people, one of them has to be dead. So certainly, you know, you have to consider that's a possibility. The other possibility, and I tell you, she's not coming off of it. My good friend Cheryl Mack McCollum, she says only one person was ever involved. Let's see. Everyone, I'm going to end with this beautiful tribute. And again, to each of you, I appreciate you so much. And happy Mother's Day to each of you from the bottom of my heart.
Say I'm the gift that heaven gave you, but mama, I'm